Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach through a book, a brand new book that I have entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And this book and companion study guide is actually a compilation of 16 of my books that I've written. I've got more books than that, but I've written, these are some of the main topics, subjects, and there's 16 chapters in here, and each chapter summarizes one of my teachings. Today, we're on number 15, and this is entitled Hardness of Heart, and so we're getting near the end of this series, and I'd just like, once again, to promote the book. I think that having a brief summary of 16 different subjects might even impact you bigger than having the complete teaching on just one subject. This gives an overview and an entire impression about God and how He deals with us that sometimes people miss. They get caught up in all of the details. And so I think that this is really good. Plus, this book and this study guide, it's in a sense a brand new discipleship tool. Because you can deal with 16 of the major subjects in the Bible and have a Bible study. And this study guide has a CD-ROM in the front where you can print out the questions. And it's got scriptures that basically answer the questions. It's got a teacher's guide, a portion that you read. And it's just it's to facilitate Bible studies, discipleship classes. And I think that this is going to be a powerful tool. 16 lessons that could just really make a huge difference in a person's life. And so we're nearing the end of this series. And if you are going to respond and get these materials, I encourage you to please call or write and respond quickly so that you respond to this while the Lord has impressed this on your heart. Today, I want to talk about a teaching that I have entitled Hardness of Heart. I taught on this recently on television in its detail, and it took, I think, 4 or 5 weeks to go through it. This is going to be just a very brief summary of it. But, you know, this is a really critical issue because most people don't understand that your actions and your experiences in life are actually a result of the way you think in your heart. Most people are trying to change their experience from the outside in, thinking that if I get all of my life squared away and if everything in my life is perfect and if I have the perfect mate, if I have the perfect children, if I have the perfect house, the perfect car, the perfect job, and if everything out here is good, then I'll be happy and then I'll be complete. And they are trying to change their life from the outside in. But the Bible teaches just the opposite. Jesus said that the Pharisees were cleaning the outside. They made it look good. They were religious. They had on the right garments. They said and did a lot of the right things. But He said on the inside, they were full of corruption. And He says, you clean first the inside and then the outside gets clean. The Bible teaches that everything is just opposite what you would intuitively or naturally think to be so. Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord was speaking to Samuel, and Samuel had gone to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons to be king. And he saw the oldest, the biggest, the strongest, the best son, and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And the Lord says, don't look on the height of his stature, because God doesn't see the way that man does. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God deals with us on the heart level, and as He changes our heart, Proverbs 23:7 says, as He thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your life is going the direction of your heart. And so again, most people, even most Christians, aren't thinking this way. They are trying to have behavior modification to where they can change their actions, but they don't deal with their heart. But it's our heart that determines how our life goes. Boy, that is a powerful, powerful statement. And I say all of this to introduce this subject of a hardness of heart. If our heart becomes hardened, and the word hardened, when you're applying it to like your emotions, it means to be cold, insensitive, unfeeling or unyielding towards God. That's what the word hardened means. And if you use that definition, I think every person, if you would be honest, there are areas of your life where it seems like you are cold towards God, insensitive towards God, unfeeling or unyielding towards God. If you would be honest, I think that I think every person has some of those characteristics in some area of your life. You could be very sensitive to the Lord. Like in my case, I got really strong in the area of healing. I don't know all the reasons why, but that's just, I don't know. I focused on it. It interested me. I pursued it, and I got to where I was really strong in the area of healing. And you know what? In the area of finances, I was hardened. I was cold, insensitive. It didn't work for me for a very, very long time. And so I believe you can have your life departmentalized where you could be strong in healing and not strong in finances or in marriage, relationships, in joy, in peace, or any of these things. And I think that if you would be honest, there are areas of our life where it just seems like we are hardened towards God. Here's some of the characteristics of a hardened heart as listed by Jesus in Mark chapter 8 and in verse 17. The background of this is he had just fed a multitude for the second time. This was the second time he did it. And as he got into the ship, he told his disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they thought he was talking about, since the word leaven was used, that it was bread. And they thought it's because we didn't bring any bread with us. And so they were questioning among themselves, was this an expression of disapproval? And when Jesus heard it, here's what it says in Mark chapter 8, verse 17. When Jesus knew it, he said unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" See, here the Lord is talking about a hardened heart, and he's giving us basically what characteristics of a hardened heart are. What are some of them? He said, "Perceive ye not yet." A hardened heart. Now listen to this, because this will really, really help you. This is something that changed my life when God gave this to me. I use this teaching every day of my life without exaggeration. I mean, every day of my life I'm constantly evaluating. Are the things I'm doing making me more sensitive, more yielded to God, or are they making me cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding? He said, here are how you can tell if you have a hardened heart. He says, "Are you not able to perceive?" How many of you just can't seem to get a handle on spiritual truth? It seems to elude you. Maybe sometimes you'll think, "I've got it," and you'll sit in a message, you'll listen to somebody teach, and it seems to make sense, and you think, "I've got it," and 20, 30 minutes later, it's gone. You can't seem to understand. It just seems like there isn't an aptitude to be able to understand. You know what that is? That's a hardened heart. That is an indication that your heart has become insensitive, cold, unfeeling towards God. The Word of God really was not written to your brain. It's written to your heart. It has to be understood from the heart. Now, I'm not saying it's illogical, but it comes as a revelation out of your heart, and then your heart teaches your mind and renews your mind to these truths. But you catch the truths of God's Word in your heart, not in your brain. If you have trouble with this, it's because your heart has become hardened, insensitive, cold, unfeeling, unyielding towards God, and it's blocking perception. The next thing it says, neither understand. This is closely related. If you can't perceive something, well, then you certainly can't understand it. Understanding is so important. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "Get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding." It says that this is how you get things down on the inside of you. You know, it's like putting food in your mouth. You could put food there, but if you can't chew it and swallow it and then digest it, it's not going to really release any of the protein and the power, the energy that your body needs to be able to function. There's a lot of people that, in a sense, they can go and sit under the Word and perceive a little bit, but it never makes sense to them. They can't understand it. For instance, here's an example. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you," that you will have more when you give a portion of what you have away than if you keep it all. Did you know that to the natural mind, that is just foolishness? It makes zero sense. And there's some people that just cannot understand this. They've even heard the scriptures. They could quote the scripture to you about give and it shall be given, Luke 6:38. They might be able to give you the reference, but they don't understand it. It's not a reality in their life. You know what that's an indication of? That your heart has become hardened towards God. And he goes on to say, have you your heart yet hardened? And then he goes on in the next verse, having eyes, see ye not? There's people that can read the Bible. They've got eyes, and yet they just don't see it. They can listen to somebody preach, and they just can't see it. And he says, having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? A hardened heart will keep you from perceiving, seeing, hearing, understanding, and it says it will keep you from remembering. I can guarantee you there are a lot of you that God has spoken something to you, and at one time you thought it was so strong, I'll never forget this. And then you go out the next day and you have a problem come up, and instead of operating in the wisdom and the revelation that God gave you, it's like you go back just like it never happened, and you wake up a few days later and say, why didn't I trust God? Why didn't I believe God? God showed me this. Why? How come I can't remember? That's an indication of a hardened heart. You know, when the Lord first showed this to me, I was shocked that I had a hardened heart because I got born again when I was 8 years old. I have sought God my entire life. I haven't done it perfectly. I had plenty of problems, same as anybody else, but I'm saying I never just rebelled and went against God. And I thought that a person with a hardened heart was describing a person who's a God hater, a person who just, you know, doesn't care about God, in total rebellion and stuff like this. And that's what I had always thought of a hardened heart. And yet one day I was reading over here in Mark chapter 6 about where Jesus fed the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then right after that, he compelled his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side. And they came into a storm, and it's only a 2-hour trip across the Sea of Galilee. And yet about anywhere from 6 to 9 hours later, they had only got halfway across. So this was a severe storm. It says that the boat was full. They were sinking. They were panicking. And right in the midst of this terrible crisis problem, Jesus just comes walking unto them on top of the crisis, on top of the water. The very thing that was about to kill them, he was absolutely in control. And he came out and appeared unto them and spoke unto them. And it says that when they saw him, that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. That's Mark 6:51. And as I was reading this, I thought, who wouldn't be sore amazed? If you were drowning, if you were struggling for your life and saw Jesus walking on top of the very thing that was about to kill you, and it says that he made as though he would have passed by them. It wasn't like he came running out there yelling, hold on, guys, I'm coming. It's just like he was out there just for a stroll. It was no big deal, man. He's just walking on top of the sea in this raging storm. You know, as I read this, I was sore amazed. I was just shocked. I was actually flying in a plane, and I looked out the window of the plane, and there was a solid layer of clouds underneath us. And I thought, you know what? What they saw wouldn't be any more miraculous. It's not a bigger deal if I was to see Jesus just come walking on these clouds, see him out for a stroll, walking on top of the clouds. You can't walk on top of clouds anymore than you can walk on top of water. And I was thinking about this, and I was sore amazed in myself beyond measure and wondered, and I was feeling really good about that and thinking anybody should be just absolutely shocked, overwhelmed to see a miraculous demonstration of God's power like this. And then I read the next verse, and it says, for, that means because, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And all of a sudden, my balloon got popped. It was like, instead of this shocked response to where you're overwhelmed and you just can hardly handle it, it says the reason they were that way was because they hadn't considered the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and they had a hardened heart. And I begin to see that if you relate to the natural more than you relate to the supernatural, then that's an indication that you have a hardened heart towards God, towards the supernatural. You shouldn't be shocked. You should be blessed to see what God does, but you shouldn't be shocked by it. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000 and broke the loaves, and all of a sudden the loaf was as big as it was before he broke it, I believe that that blessed him. I believe that he was, I think it was a good thing, but I don't believe he went, "Wow, look at this. It worked." I don't believe he started jumping up and down, lifting his hands and praising God and dancing and doing a jig about, "Man, it worked. It worked. This is the power of God." Do you know what a response like that actually shows? That you've got a hardened heart. You are so used to the natural that when you see something supernatural, it shocks you. Well, see, that's the way I was when I read this and realized that being sore amazed in yourselves beyond measure and wondering is actually an indication of a hardened heart. All of a sudden, I realized that it's not just the rebellious or the God haters that have a hardened heart. I loved God with my whole heart. I was seeking God, and yet I was more sensitive to the natural realm than I was the supernatural realm. It was easier for me to see something in the natural, and even if I prayed for healing, but if I didn't see healing, I wasn't shocked, because after all, that's kind of normal, and I anticipated that. If I would have seen a miracle, I would have started just being overwhelmed, sore amazed in myself beyond measure and wondered. And that is the very reason that I wasn't seeing greater miracles, is because the supernatural was abnormal. It ought to be that we are supernaturally natural, that we expect to see the power of God. And see, if that's not describing you, then you've got a hardened heart. What causes a hardened heart? Well, right here in Mark 6:52, it tells you, it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." And again, I've got a teaching that goes into great length on this. But in a nutshell, whatever you consider, the word consider means to study, ponder, deliberate, examine, focus on, meditate on, whatever captures your attention, you become sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, you become hardened to. It's just the way that God made us. Now, when it says that you become hardened to it, that doesn't mean that necessarily you lose information, because over in Mark chapter 8, those verses that I used at the beginning of our program about what characteristics of a hardened heart were, you couldn't perceive, you couldn't understand, you couldn't see, you couldn't hear, and you couldn't remember. Right after that, he asked his disciples, "So when I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, how many baskets full of fragments did they take up?" And they said, 12. "And then when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took they up?" And he said, 7. They still had information. It's not like that they forgot that these things existed, but they lost all of their spiritual benefit. It wasn't impacting them. It wasn't changing anything. And see, this is the way it is. When you fail to consider God and the Word of God, the promises of God, the truths that are revealed in the Word of God, you might still be able to retain the knowledge. You might be able to say, 1 Peter 2:24, the last part of that verse says, "By His stripes we were healed." You might be able to quote it, but you will be more sensitive to, dominated by the sickness than you are by the Word of God, because you are spending more time in the natural realm than you are in the supernatural realm. There are people that can quote what the Word says about healing. But you know what the truth is? That all a doctor's got to do is say, "You're going to die. It's terminal. There's nothing else we can do." And there are people watching this program right now that you can quote what the Scripture says, but the truth is you are more sensitive to what the doctor says, what your body says, what a piece of paper says, than you are what the Word of God says. That's an indication that your heart is hardened towards God. You're insensitive towards God. And I tell you, this is a malady that is at epidemic proportions in the body of Christ. There's a lot of people that know the Word, but the truth is the Word isn't dominating them, because they spend their focus is not on God's Word, it's on other things. There's people that when sickness hits your body, the first thing you do is go study it. You get on the internet, you read books about it, you spend yourself hour after hour after hour, and by doing that, you become more sensitive to the physical realm, to the sickness, and to the limited treatments and ability to deal with it that men have. If you were to spend the same amount of time you've spent researching how bad everything is in the Word of God, studying the antidote instead of the problem, you would be more sensitive to the Word of God and you would be healed and those things would be dominating you. But again, most of us don't live in a place called faith. We live in a place called unbelief. We watch stories, we watch movies, television, we read books, magazines that are just cramming us full of it's flu season, this is failure, this problem's in the world, this person, if you get this, you're going to die, you've only got so much time. And we listen to all of that much more than we listen to the Word. And then we wonder, well, I know what the Word says, how come it's not having that impact in my life? It's because your heart is hardened. You are more focused on the natural realm than you are the spiritual realm. So we can reverse this. This same process that makes us hardened towards God can make you hardened towards the devil. It can make you hardened towards sickness, hardened towards failure. If you get to where all you do is focus on the Word of God, then what you consider, your heart becomes sensitive to. What you fail to consider, your heart will become hardened to. In the same way that it seems like the majority of people's hearts are hardened towards God and sensitive towards the devil, you can reverse that and get to where you are so sensitive towards God that you're hardened towards the devil. I have people come to me all the time and say, how is it that God speaks to you? You talk about God said this and God said that. And they say, the devil told me that I'm never going to hear the voice of God. And the devil said this and the devil said that. And they just think it's strange that I hear the voice of God, but they can hear the voice of the devil. They can hear a little tiny whisper very clearly. Did you know you can reverse that process to where you could actually get to a place that you say, you know, God spoke to me and I hear people talking about that the devil told them this and that they had fear of this and fear of that. But, you know, I just don't ever do that. How is it that you hear the devil speak to you? That ought to be the typical Christian's reaction. It ought to be so natural for us to hear the voice of God. John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That is the normal experience. That's what's our inheritance. But the problem is that very few of us spend the same quantity of time with the Lord in His Word under the inspiration and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we do in the world, listening to doubt and unbelief and reading junk and listening to the bad news. And it's just a matter of focus. It's a matter of what you consider. Whatever you consider, you become sensitive to. Whatever you fail to consider, you become hardened to. You might be able to retain the knowledge, but that knowledge isn't going to change you. You're hardened. You're insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. That's what a hardened heart is. So how do you stop it? Well, if you understand the problem, you stop it by just reversing. You take your attention, your focus, and you seek God with all of your heart. And if you can truly put your heart on God and seek Him with everything you've got, you will become sensitive to Him and hardened towards the devil. Boy, this is a powerful, powerful truth. It's changed my life. You know, I'd like to encourage you to please get the materials. We've got this book entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, also the study guide that goes with it. We just finished the 15th teaching in this 16-chapter book. And so you need to call or write soon. If you'll listen to our announcer, he'll give you that information and call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the fourth week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma next week for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta Sunday, May 8th, in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I believe that God wants us to physically be well and to have prosperity and feel these things in the physical realm, but it all starts in the spirit, and faith is the way that that comes from the spirit into the physical realm. And if you can't believe for something that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, then you are shutting off the flow of God through you into the physical realm.
Join Andrew Womack for the Atlanta, Georgia Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through 7th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.